there, and welcome to your show, Take Two with Jerry and Debbie. I'm Debbie Giorgiani, and I really do want your call, need your call, expect your call today, because we're talking all about the children in our lives. That's right. Where the title of the show is A Child Will Lead Them, meaning when have you been inspired to be a better person by the actions of a child? Maybe it's your own child, your grandchild, a niece or nephew, and you just are so moved by the way they love God and trust God so very much. And maybe it's something that came out of their mouth was so profound and led you into a deeper understanding of the relationship you should have with God. It's so incredible what we can learn from our children. So we are bragging about our children today on Take Two, and I do need your call. I absolutely do, because I can brag about children all day long. I think they're just so special. I was a religious education director for many, many years, elementary school age, and the things that the kids would say, boy, oh boy, did it inspire me. And actually, I'm trained in the Montessori method of catechesis of the Good Shepherd, which is where the children really do lead the parents into a deeper understanding of the faith. It's so incredible by working with the parables, by understanding and really taking in the parables that Jesus taught. And it's the works that are done with the Montessori method really get the parents captivated, and the parents start to be drawn into it. So I've seen that in this method of religious education called the catechesis of the Good Shepherd, that a lot of parents have come back to the faith because they've watched the children. They've simply sat back and watched the children, and they could see the children falling in love with Jesus. And so they wanted that as well. So today is A Child Will Lead Them, meaning lead you. When have you been inspired to be a better person by the actions of a child? Here is the number, 833-288-EWTN, 833-288-3986. We have Matt on the phones, we have Michael on the controls, and we have Pedro on social media. I'm waving to everybody. Hi, guys, get the chats going. Put it in the chats when a child has really inspired you to be a better person. It can be a better person in general or a better person deeper in the faith. We'd love to hear your comments. You can always text us. You text the letters EWTN to 58177. You wait for our response, then you text us your first name and your brief question or comment about the children that have inspired you in your life. Just know that message and data rates may apply. But I would love to hear your beautiful voice. You don't have to be Catholic to call in on this beautiful feast day of St. Gregory the Great. I love this. And we prayed to the Powerhouse team before we started each and every show. Every single show, we prayed to the Powerhouse team, and we just feel like we have heavenly assistance when we do these live episodes where we come together, we learn and grow together. We're a little bit changed, we're a little bit closer to God. And I would love to hear from you how the children can really inspire us to be better people. You know, we look at what just happened recently in Minnesota with the shooting, and you heard the stories of children helping others quickly, throwing their bodies on top of others to protect them. I mean, children are so amazing and pure and really know how to really trust and to really be the best they can be, right? And I saw one video of the children leaving the church, and I saw one of the school students racing and pushing a wheelchair of another school student. And I don't know if anyone else has seen that, but it just brought me to tears because, you know, obviously they wanted to get out of the church. They wanted to go, but they were pushing this wheelchair and they were pushing it pretty fast. And you almost could tell that they were getting some heavenly assistance there. See, I'm getting emotional because children are so beautiful. You know, they know how to embrace God, and they know how to embrace God well. And, you know, we've heard it said what Jesus has said, you know, be careful. Don't touch the little ones, because their angels in heaven are beholding the face of God. And it's so true. And it's not just the little ones in age. It's also, you know, how they are in spirit, how they are in heart, how true and beautiful and pure. So there's so many things we can learn from the youth, and I'd love to hear what you have learned. So please call in. We've gonna, when we come back from our break, we'll start the conversation with Sister Cheryl from Phoenix, Arizona. So, Sister, hold on. Don't go anywhere. But I'd like you to join her because we could fill up the phone lines and really help to support and to encourage children to be the best that they can be, because they are inspiring us. They are teaching us. They're amazing because they're so pure. They haven't been jaded yet by the world. 833-288-EWTN. 833-288-3986. I really do need to hear from you because without you, it's a show of me talking and maybe catechizing, and that's fine. I can do that. I'd rather hear from you because when you call in, we have a well-rounded discussion and we have calls from all over the world. So if you can stop what you're doing, we are live today and we are taking your calls. Matt is waiting. And so I'd love to hear from you at 833-288-EWTN. 833-288-3986. Was there something that your child or your grandchild maybe did or said, or you just watched them and you were like, wow, I am watching this beautiful demonstration of a child that loves God and is doing their very best and shining in the world. You know who really understood that well was Blessed Carlo Acutis, soon to be Saint Carlo Acutis. He knew it very well, even before the age of reason, even before age 7. He was so encouraging of others. He wanted their light to shine. He made an impact on so many adults. When he died, his mother was just overwhelmed with messages from people, adults who were impacted by Carlo Acutis. I mean, see, it can be done. Kids do have power. Kids do have influence. And we as adults can learn from them. It's a beautiful thing. I think it's wonderful to be able to have this episode today where we can honor the children that are in our lives, our own kids, our grandkids, our nieces, nephews, our neighbor kids, kids that we teach in school, things of that nature. It's beautiful. Come on, you guys, fill up those last open phone lines and let's really shout to the world how our children can demonstrate Christ in the world at 833-288-EWTN, 833-288-3986. I'll be right back. Talking today on Take Two, how children can inspire us to be better people. And it's a wonderful thing. So please call in. You don't have to be Catholic to call in. 833-288-EWTN, 833-288-3986. Cheryl, Sister Cheryl, hold on 1 second. I'm just going to share this with our listeners. The EWTN Pro-Life Pulse is your weekly recap of the top pro-life headlines moving our nation and world the mainstream media missed. Visit EWTNnews.com/pro-life and sign up today and stay connected. Okay, Sister Cheryl from Phoenix, Arizona, I know you wanted to talk about the Minnesota shooting, so please start the conversation for us. Hi, Cheryl.
Hello. Good morning, Debbie. When I just got back from that horrible tragedy that happened out in Minnesota at the Nunnery Catholic Church, the children had so much fear and frightening that I went on out there and brought a bunch of prayer shows to them and taught them one little Bible passage that really gives them the strength that could be able to lead other children. So now they're a bunch of Joan of Arcs, and they believe that this one Bible passage, be strong and courageous, for it is the Lord your God that goes with you, and from the book of Deuteronomy. And that's where they found the strength inside of them to be like a group of Joan of Arcs. And here they are not giving up the faith. They're having a mass services even in the auditorium. And they found that strength to continue on to help lead other children, to never let the fear well up inside of them. And wrapping that prayer shawl around them, they felt so much comfort and love from God that helped them to bring them back. And they never will give up their faith. They never will. And a child is leading them right back to Jesus again.
Sister, I love how you did that. You went and brought prayer shawls to them. You know, what prompted you to do that? Did you just feel this, you know, real sense of extreme urge and this need to be there? Because I think that all of us, we felt kind of helpless on the outside watching this. Like, what could we do? What went through your mind? I'm just curious.
What went through my mind is how scared and terrified they are, that they need to wrap themselves up with something from God, that they can feel God wrapped up inside and also on the outside. When you put that prayer shawl on, you can hear our prayers coming through that prayer shawl inside of yourself. Mm-hmm. And also God is answering to them through that prayer shawl that we make. Every single stitch that we make, we say a prayer to them. That helps give them the strength, just a little tiny drop of strength that they needed. And that's what did it.
Yeah, yeah. So when you met them, obviously they had that fear that they still they were working through, but you obviously saw a lot of strength in them. Tell us a little bit more about that, because we'd like to get an idea of where they're at emotionally.
Their fear basically came from, am I going to be hurt? Am I going to get shot? Am I going to die today? Or what is going on? They had no fear. They had a lot of fear inside of them that made them rush out of that church and everything else. You know, the bullets were flying and everything, but they still ended up running out there for their lives, protecting others as they dropped down and protecting themselves and everything, but they still had the strength to be able to run out. And then after they ran out and everything else, you know, they ran to their families, their parents for comfort. They end up reassuring their parents and their families, mm-hmm. not just the comfort, but knowing that their child is still alive, that they're right. being strong and courageous. They're not going to let anything like this happen to them. They're going to continue to be strong and courageous, just like Joan of Arc.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Sister, I love that our children do have that interior strength. I mean, and our Catholic Christian children are showing up in a really beautiful way. Like, I love how you said that, like, mini St. Joan of Arcs. Yeah, you're right. And, you know, this is the kind of world we live in, that, you know, we're going to have to get strong. We're going to have to get tough, because we're in a difficult world. Sister, thank you so much. God bless you for your work, your ministry work, just the person that you are. You're just so amazing. Thank you. And thank you for being just a valued member of the Take Two family.
Oh, you're welcome, Debbie.
Yes, thank you. Okay, God bless you. Thank you. Okay, we're going to get to Ann in Texas. She's listening on Armor of God Radio. Hi, Ann. Welcome to the program.
Hello.
Hello, Ann. You're on the air.
Okay. Well, I just called in because of the subject you guys had on, and something just sparked because I had a story that came to my mind immediately, and I wanted to kind of share it.
Mm-hmm. Go right ahead.
Well, I have a child who's got some special needs, but anyway, he when he was young, we were at a restaurant, and I remember that there was a waitress there that was very upset. I guess she wasn't having a good day, and she was throwing people's food down, being short with, you know, the people that were eating there. And my son just was watching, and he said, hey, Mom, I want to go give her a hug. Mm. And I just thought, well, I cringed, because I thought, well, how was she going to treat my son? Is she going to be mean to him, or is she going to tell him to get away from her? And he just said he had to do it. And so I got out, and I let him go hug her, and he went behind her and grabbed her around the waist and hugged her, because he was only like 6 years old at the time. And mm-hmm. I mean, she completely melted and said, that is exactly what I needed. Oh. And then it completely changed her mood. And I just remember thinking, I almost stopped him from doing that. And just how often it is such a simple gesture that can change somebody's heart. And he wasn't afraid to do it.
Right.
And I just remember finding that. I just always remember that. And I always remember I would like to be more like that myself as mm-hmm. an adult, you know, because we kind of sanction ourselves and talk ourselves out of things, but he didn't. He was determined. So that was a story I wanted to share about a child being inspiring.
Well, your son sounds very wonderful. What a beautiful young man. And, you know, from his heart, I love that. He could sense that she was struggling. And so what do we do when somebody's struggling? We try to comfort them. And so he immediately went there with no, he was not going to have anything block him. He was just going to do what came natural to him. And this is what I said earlier at the beginning of the show. You know, we become so jaded in this world. We're so afraid to move forward and express, you know, loving, kind, nurturing feelings, because it'll be met with people saying, well, what are you trying to do? You know, like, what's your motive? You know, are you a good person, or an okay person for me to talk to? So there's all these you know, walls put up between people. And it's really unfortunate, because we're missing that soul to soul connection that we crave. And obviously that lady was having a bad day, and your son gave her exactly the medicine she needed to feel better. And I love that. And you're blessed. You have a beautiful son there. Does he continue to be so loving and go out there and really and meet people and make their day?
Well, he still cares about people, but he is very antisocial for some reason. Even then he was. So he's not necessarily a people person. That's what made it especially strange. But he does still, when he still sees people, he told me when he was young, he said, I have all this compassion. I don't know what to do with it. And I guess he feels people's emotions, and empathy, I guess, is the word he actually used. And I find that sometimes it overwhelms him. Like, I think he feels a lot of what people feel, but he still does go out there but not like somebody who's an extrovert, not by any chance. But I keep praying for him that gift, you know, will expand, because I told him, I know you don't really like to socialize with people, but you have such a big gift to offer them when you decide to do it.
Yeah. Is he into the arts at all? Like, does he draw or does he paint?
Yeah, he is an artist. Yes, he actually does draw. So, I mean, he does have a very much a creative side, yes.
Beautiful. Well, maybe that's where God's going to use him to reach people, because we know that in art, it does touch people deep into the soul, and you can tap into those emotions. So maybe if he doesn't feel like he wants to have that, you know, one-on-one connection with somebody, you know, he can do it through art. That is beautiful, Anne. You're blessed. Anne, thank you so much for sharing with us. And let your son know that we think he's so incredible.
I will do that. Thank you so much for saying it. Thank you again.
Absolutely. Absolutely. You're a great mom. It's very obvious. Thank you. Okay. So we want to talk about, just like Anne did, just like Sister Cheryl did, how children can inspire us, how children are strong and courageous, and how they say some of the best stuff. They can do some of the most incredible things. And we as adults can learn from them. We can watch children and really get inspired to be better and to be, you know, more open and honest and pure and just trusting. Children do say and do the most wonderful things, especially when in terms of a spiritual nature. So if you have something to say about this, about the children in your life that you want to brag about, now is the time to do it. And you don't have to be Catholic. 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. We're going to get to Samuel, and Samuel is in Odessa, Texas, on Guadalupe Radio Network. Samuel, thank you so much for waiting, and welcome.
Hey, Debbie. Yeah, I have a little story about my oldest son. Back many, many, many years ago, he was maybe six or seven years old, and he was with me, and of course, we were on a dad mission, go put tires on mom's car, right?
Mm-hmm.
And anyway, we get to the tire dealer and everything, and of course, my intention was to just go and get replacement tires, right? But anyway, when we get there, the dealer, you know, pulls up my credit report and everything. Oh, wow, this guy's got it. You know, I'm going to make a sale here. And so, you know, he goes all in, and he tries to sell me wheels and sports tires and everything, and me, like a big doofus, I fall for it. You know, oh, yeah, the truck will look cool and whatever, you know, that big old materialistic mentality and everything. So I go for it. I go for the deal, which was way more than I wanted to spend or I had intended to spend. And anyway, they put that they were having trouble with the tires and the wheels and stuff. And okay, so the whole deal was going wrong to begin with. And then on our way home, the truck starts running like the wheels are all out of balance. So I turn right around and I go back.
Right.
And they check it out and everything's fine. So they put everything back on it and we head back home, right?
Mm-hmm.
And on our way home, the truck's still behaving, misbehaving, you know? And I'm just talking to myself, you know, disgruntled, not happy with the whole deal. And then all of a sudden, my little boy sitting beside me, he says, "You know what, Dad?" It says, "What, Mio?" He says, "You know what it seemed like to me when I was watching you doing that deal with the dealer back there at the store?" He said, "It seemed like you were signing your name, like you were signing your soul over to the devil." And I said, "Oh, man." When he said that, that totally told me, you know what? This whole thing is wrong. This whole deal is wrong.
Mm-hmm.
I brought the truck home. I kept it overnight. The following morning before going to work, I took it back. And, you know, that commercial where the old lady throws the tire.
Yeah.
The discount tire dealer.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I remembered that. And I said, well, they say, you know, if you're not ever happy with the deal, bring it back no matter what.
Right.
And so I did that the following morning. And I went back and I told them I want credit for everything that I did. And I want the tires that I originally came to get. But because of my son telling me that, it just totally changed the whole perspective of what I intended to do, you know,
sure.
or what I had originally done. You mm-hmm. know, he basically got me out of a jam, a financial jam,
mm-hmm.
you know, because
mm-hmm.
like they say, you know, the lender is master of the borrower and the mm-hmm. borrower is slave to the lender. Well,
right.
Proverbs says that. Well, mm-hmm. you know, I was going to be in debt. I was going to be in debt to these people, you know, but he basically got me out of that. A little
wow.
7-year-old kid, you know.
So that 7-year-old yeah. has grown up, obviously.
He's fixing to be 35 years old and he's a dad himself now. So,
does he continue to be very wise?
He is very wise and stuff, but now, you know, he's got his own way of thinking and stuff. And so now it's we butt heads a lot.
Oh, okay. Like father, like son. Go ahead.
But he's very intelligent. He's a very intelligent young man and everything. And he's a very great father. He was a very good father. Yeah.
That is so interesting. So did you butt heads with your dad?
Unfortunately, yes.
Okay. Okay. So he's just following suit then.
Yeah. But anyway, you know, I just thought I'd share that, you know, like you say, you know, sometimes kids say the darndest things and stuff and they make us change our mentality or our way of thought, you know, and mm-hmm. he certainly did on this round, in this case.
Well, you know what, though, Samuel? It's so obvious. He was probably watching you. He probably saw that you were trying to figure out if you were going to do the deal or not. And he probably saw your emotions going back and forth. So kids are very sensitive to that. And then he saw you get frustrated because it didn't work out. And he probably saw that you were maybe uptight that, oh, my goodness, I spent too much money in this area. And so he was very sensitive to that. And he said, Dad, here's an observation for you, but the beauty of it is that you recognized it. You recognized it and then you reversed it. So that's the beauty of it. And I think it's wonderful. Sounds like you have a great relationship with your son.
I do. You know, it's just, you know, we have those moments when we get into these deep discussions. He's an engineer. He's a mechanical engineer. And
so,
you know, he's very analytical about things.
Right. Well, yeah, that happens with our adult children. Oh, Samuel, it was such a delight to talk to you. Thank you so much. Please call us again. Great story. And if you'd like to add your story to this a wonderful episode about how children have inspired you to be a better person, please call in at 833-288-EWTN, 833-288-3986. We'll get back to your calls in just a moment. I really want to hear your story about when a child has inspired you to be a better person. Or how about this? Let's flip it. You know, we try to cover this from all angles. What do you do as a parent or a grandparent when your child comes to you and a small child comes to you and asks you, you know, why did this happen to me, mom or dad? Or, you know, where is God in all this? Or, you know, did God punish me for this or that? You know, how do you respond to your children? You know, are you ready with an answer? Are you ready to sit down with them and really catechize them in a way that's going to leave them with a sense of peace and hope and joy? So it's very interesting. You know, we can talk about how we communicate to our youth, to our children. Before we get back to the phone, Suzanne will be next. I'd love to hear from you. 833-288-EWTN, 833-288-3986. We're talking about children today and how they inspire us and how we communicate with them about the faith and about being really good people in society. You know, we want to talk about that. But let me just do a congratulations and a shout out going out to another EWTN radio partner, WLCV 103.9 FM, serving Ludington, Michigan, is celebrating 9 years with us. Congratulations to Father Wayne Wheeler and everyone at Ludington Catholic Voice from your friends here at EWTN. God bless you all and keep up the great work, please. We need Catholic radio now more than ever. By the way, fall pledge drives are starting actually this month, and probably some are starting in a couple days. Most are starting next week. Please, when your Catholic radio station, your local Catholic radio station comes to you and says it's fall pledge drive, it is so important to show up in a big way. And please phone a friend and ask them and invite them to join in on the pledge drives, the share-a-thons, the carathons. It's important we have full participation so we can keep Catholic radio going strong into the future, so our children can find their way back, those children that have kind of fallen away, and they can come back through Catholic radio if it's going strong in your area. So please keep that in mind, and please remember EWTN. But Suzanne, I'm going to get to you in just a moment. We saw a couple of phone lines that light up and then drop off, so if you'd like to call back, I'd love to hear how a child has inspired you in some way. We heard a great story before the break from Samuel and his son. I thought it was a fabulous story, and we can learn so much from the stories that we hear, real life experiences. So please call in 833-288-3986. Okay, Suzanne in Illinois on our friends at Catholic Spirit Radio, please tell us your story.
Hi, this is Suzanne.
Hi, Suzanne.
Hi. So we were traveling as a family, and my son was about 7, and we were in kind of a like an open market place where people were selling crafts and things that they had made. And my son had some money, and I was very surprised by what he bought. And so I asked him about it afterwards. I said, well, what made you decide to buy that? And he said, well, I didn't really want it, but it really seemed like they needed the money more than I did. And I felt like they were probably going to need it to eat. And we're going out to eat, so it wasn't really that important to me, but I felt like they needed it.
Oh, that's so precious. And you said he was 7, so the age of reason. So he was really in tune with somebody else's need. Wow.
Yes.
Okay, so tell us about your son today. How old is he now?
He is 23 now. He served in the military, and has recently gotten out of the military and does personal security, but he still has that sense of like, what does someone else need? He's very just intuitive about that.
Yeah, he has a giving heart. He has a giving heart, doesn't he?
He's very self-sacrificing, for sure.
Wow. Wow, you have a very wonderful son. That is so amazing. And at an early age to be able to be in tune. See, he was thinking out, you know, that's the beauty of our children. We don't give them enough credit in general as a world, right? We don't acknowledge them enough. Your son at 7 years old was able to tap in and was able to go outside. He was saying, we're going out to eat. So I know we've got food, but I think I better buy this because I think they need food. They're going to need food. you know, they're longing for something. They have a need, and I'm going to try and fill that. That yeah. is huge. I mean, he is wise. He was wise beyond his years.
Yes.
Wow. Thank him so.
I mean, then I ended up going back because when I heard that from him, I thought, how selfish am I? I looked at things and thought, oh, I don't really want that. And I turned around and bought a T-shirt that I didn't need or really even want. And just because for the same reason that he did. So wow. he really moved me because I was ready to kind of move on. And I thought, gosh, this 7-year-old took this little bit of money that he had to try to help somebody else. And I'm thinking, oh, this really isn't that valuable, but it was to them.
I could feel the Holy Spirit as you were telling this story, and I can almost picture a little boy doing that. And it's just so beautiful. It's so innocent. It's so loving. It's so Christ-like. And yeah. and that's what we're all called to be. And so, yeah, you are blessed to have a son like that. Please thank him for his military service. Please, would you do that for us?
I will. Yeah. Thank you,
Suzanne. That was an incredible story. That I think that inspired all of us, and it's got us all very emotional. So thank you. We needed to hear that today. I think that was the perfect timing. God bless you, Suzanne. Thank you. We're going to get more of your stories coming in. If you have something to say about the children in your life and how they've inspired you, please don't hesitate. Don't wait any longer because we're going to run out of time. The show's going to run out and you're not going to have an opportunity to share about the children that have inspired you at 833-288-EWTN, 833-288-3986. If you're just listening to us, we're a live call-in show. We welcome the stories that you have. That can really help other souls get closer to God, that can inspire others, that can get others motivated to deepen their relationship with God, to be better people in this world. This is what we try to do here. We try to change the world one conversation at a time, one episode of Take Two at a time. So if you would like to be part of this, I like to call it a movement where we're trying to go out there and change the world, change the culture, then please stop what you're doing and dial this number. 833-288-EWTN, 833-288-3986. Well, I'm going to get back to the phones in a moment. We almost have almost full phone line. So way to go, team. You guys are coming in strong with these beautiful stories about children. I've shared this story many times, but what I always go back to when people ask me, like, how have children inspired you, especially in religious education? I've seen it so many times. I have seen children, small children, age, you know, 6 years old, all the way up to teenagers, where you will position them in an encounter with the Lord, with adoration or with some kind of you know, praise music and some beautiful Christian music where they're getting themselves very calm, very, very in a beautiful, peaceful place. And I have seen it so many times in religious education where, you know, it's time for their parents to pick them up. You know, the lights go on and, you know, we start to close up class. And so many times the kids have said to me, they used to call me Miss Deb or Miss Debbie. They would say, Miss Deb, please don't make us leave. Don't make us leave yet. We love this. They felt so safe and secure with our Lord in some fashion, whether it was in front of our Lord in the Blessed Sacrament, or if it was talking about our Lord, or just in a guided meditation or some beautiful way that they were just encountering the Lord in a peaceful, calm way. They didn't want it to end. And it was so beautiful as adults, as catechists, we would stand there, we would watch in awe of these children. And we're like, wow, they don't want to leave the connection with God. Whereas sometimes, you know, let's face it, as adults, you know, when Mass is finished, we're ready. We've got our purse and we're off and in the car and we're getting out of the parking lot as quick as we can. It's so interesting how the children, the youth, they love that intimacy, that real strong connection to God. I've always remembered that. And anytime anybody asks me to do programs or talk about the youth, I think about that all the time. I can close my eyes and I can see these kids, and they would beg us, literally beg us, please don't make us leave. We want to stay with God. It's so beautiful, our children. Okay, let's hear what Alice has to say in Grand Island, New York, listening on the Station of the Cross. Hi, Alice. Welcome.
Hi, Debbie. How are you?
I'm doing great. How are you?
Good. I just want to share with my about my nephew. I don't have any kids, but I have lots of nieces and nephews. And his name is Harry, and he one day, he was just a couple years ago, he asked his dad to help him make a sign. And he likes to build things. He's always usually asking him to make paper guns and stuff, but he asked him to make a sign that said, "If you love Jesus, honk." And so his dad did, and his dad's not a faithful guy. He's not, you know, there's kind of some stuff in the family, but he did the sign, and Harry went out there with the sign, and he sat there for a couple hours in this little town, and he just sat there, and he just did that. I heard the story. I wasn't there, but it's just every time I hear the stories about him, I'm like, I just love him so much. You know, it inspires. It's just inspiring to me.
He sounds so, he seems like he's like a free spirit and kind of spontaneous. Is he?
He's actually kind of serious. Like, I was concerned because they're like, he's really into the military and guns. And like I said, he'd want his grandpa to help him make guns, and very specific of how he'd wanted them made. And even when he couldn't talk, like, so he's very, he's interesting. And one time when he was little, I was over there and he came up to me, and no one's ever done this, none of my nieces and nephews, but I had the miraculous medal on. He comes up, and I don't even know how he could see it, but he comes up and he goes, "Who is that?" Instead of "What is that?" or playing with it, he said, "Who is that?" And I said, "Oh," and his family was around, and I'm like, "Well, it's our Mother Mary. You have your mother, and this is Mary." And he was very into it, and then I saw his dad, like, kind of listening to it, so... I think he's going to be great for the family, but I know the family needs prayers too, but he's just like, I don't know if he'll be a militant for the Lord because of his interest in both.
So very, very, very focused then. He's very fixated on certain things. Okay. Yeah, got it.
Yeah, two things. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Military and Jesus. And he'll talk about either very much with his friends. Too.
Right. Well, it sounds like you love your nieces and nephews, and you're so close to them, and it sounds like you got a beautiful family. So he's very supported with that. So that's good. So whatever it sounds like, whatever he chooses to do with using his gifts and talents, it sounds like he's got a supportive family. So you guys are blessed, Alice. And you have other nieces and nephews?
Yes. Very
cool. Yeah. Very cool. So you must be a really great Aunt Alice. I love that. Okay.
I hope so. I try.
Yeah, very cool. Thank you for sharing about Harry. I love that story. Thank you so much, and God bless you. And I put your whole family in the prayer book, and I put him in the prayer book too.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. God bless you. We're going to move to Colorado. Kathy is in Longmont, Colorado, on Catholic Radio Network. Hi, Kathy. Welcome.
Hi. Thank you. I listen to you guys all the time.
Thank you.
So my story is that, hold on just a minute, trying to get on speaker. Okay. My story is that when our very first family dog, he actually was mine to begin with, but when I was single, and then I had two daughters, and my oldest daughter was 7, my younger one was 5, and we had to put the dog down. Gosh, I can hardly tell you this one. My husband took the two girls, and our vet came to our house and to do it on the back porch. Mm-hmm. So I said, "Girls, you go out front with Dad, and I'm going to go on the back porch." And I don't want you guys to remember this. And she looked at me and she said, "No, Mom, I want to come with you." And I said, no, I don't want you to have this memory." And she said to me, "It would be a worse memory if I thought you had to do it alone."
Oh. Oh, oh my goodness.
And she's 31, and this story still makes me cry.
So she
was so compassionate, and she still is. She's just she has an enormous heart and really can feel for others.
Wow. Can you give us her first name, Kathy? I want to put her in the book. What a beautiful soul.
Yep, Megan.
Megan. Oh. And so she wanted to share in this very difficult, putting a dog down is very painful, very emotionally painful. I mean, it's a separation, it's a loss, but she needed to be there for her mom and to experience this because she didn't want you to go through this alone. Kathy, you are blessed.
Oh, you're not kidding. I know it. I'm very, very rich indeed.
Yeah. Oh, my goodness. I see how emotional you got. I was getting emotional as well. I'm sure others, too, hearing this story. But and she was 7. You know, there's an interesting kind of thread that is being brought into this conversation. Have you noticed, Kathy, and of all the stories, most of these children are 6 and 7 and 8 years old. So it's very interesting. And then see, it makes sense because as they go into double digits, you know, in their teen years or preteen years, that's when the world starts to get to them and they start to change a little bit. So it's very interesting how pure and in tune and sensitive our children are at the age of reason. And your daughter obviously was and still is at age 31. Wow. Well, you tell Megan we just love her, please.
I will. Thank you for all you guys do.
Thank you, Kathy. Call us again, please. Okay, wow, these stories are very emotional, amazing, and inspiring, and that's what we wanted for today. I'm going to get to Mary next. Mary, hold on. I just wanted to share with our listeners, the doctor is in with Dr. Ray Guarendi is coming up next. Dr. Ray takes calls and talks about family, marriage, and relationships. It's a great show. Please tune in. He has a lot to say in this area. Okay, Mary in Minnesota on Real Presence Radio, you are up next telling your story. I think it's about your grandchild.
Yes.
Go right ahead.
I have two grandsons, and the older one was about 14, and the younger one was 10. They both had medical issues, and money was tight because of all their medical problems. They'd been to Mayo with the older son, and he wasn't even able to go to school. He was a seventh grader, and so he was trying to do school at home, and his younger brother, who was about 10, and he was like missing a day of school every other week because he was throwing up all the time. And they had tried to take him to the doctor, and he told his mom one day that they needed to spend the money on his older brother instead of him. He could wait.
Oh.
Because his older brother wasn't even able to go to school.
Oh.
He just
Mary.
Has a tender heart.
A tender, yes, a big heart, a big heart. How old is he now?
He's 13 now.
He's 13. Oh, beautiful. Beautiful. Is he discerning a vocation at all? Do you know, Mary?
He's not opposed to it, yes.
Yeah. How beautiful.
Yes.
Wow. He has a missionary spirit.
Yes. He has beautiful prayers, too.
Oh, he does. Oh, wow. See, that's what I was wondering. Can you share his first name for the book?
Ryan.
Okay, beautiful. Wow, you're blessed. I mean, all these stories, you know, the families are just blessed with these wonderful children that are now growing up and they are still demonstrating these beautiful virtues. Wow, Mary, that must make you so proud as the grandmother.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, you're a beautiful soul, too. It has to start from the top.
Thank you.
Oh, thank you for sharing with us. Great story. Thank you. Wow. Okay, we're going to go to Christine in Liberty Lake, Washington on the EWTN app. Hi, Christine. And you're going to talk about your granddaughter.
Yes, I am. My husband is a stroke recovery, so he's left side impaired, but he does get around, he drives and everything else. And our little 5-year-old granddaughter was here with us the day that he was coming back from an errand, and when he got out of his car, he fell. And so he's sitting on the garage floor, and I'm just told not to try to get him up, just call 911, which I did. And Maisie was in here and coloring, she didn't even know what was going on. So she finally comes out to the garage, and I said, Maisie, Papa's okay. He just fell down, and there's people coming to help get him up. Mm-hmm. So she went over and sat on the concrete next to him and put her head on his chest and said, "Papa, it'll be okay." I mean, oh my gosh, I just couldn't And the thing of this is just a couple of months prior to that, her other grandpa lost his brother suddenly. Her other grandpa is a deacon in the church, and he was doing the celebration. And since the death was unexpected, he was very upset and trying to hold it together. Macy gets up and goes up and gets on the altar and holds his hand.
Oh.
Grabs his hand. Like, "It's okay, Papa." You know.
Isn't that sweet?
She started kindergarten yesterday in a Catholic school, and she has just the sweetest heart ever.
Oh, she sure does. She sure does. Is she comforting heart, a nurturing heart? I wonder if she's going to go into the medical field, because she sounds like she's not afraid to really be with people that, you know, are having some, you know, a medical difficulty. You know, it sounds like she's very comfortable in that arena. What do you think?
Well, yeah, I that's something I really think about, because she was so comfortable with it.
Yeah.
You know, And you could tell in her little blue eyes that she was just, you know, the compassion. "It'll be okay, Papa." You know, I mean, it was just the sweetest thing you ever saw in your life.
Oh,
you
know? My goodness. Oh, I know. Well, you're a proud grandmother, and you should be. It's beautiful. That is a precious story. I put your whole family in the prayer book. Okay, Christine?
Thank you. I appreciate that. Yes, yes. My husband is going through some new therapies.
Okay.
And we have high hopes for him being a little bit more mobile.
Mm-hmm.
But he's doing great. He's working hard, and we appreciate any prayers you send our way.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Do you want to give us his first name, or we pray
sure.
by first name? So, yeah. Go ahead.
Okay. Well, his name is Jim.
Jim. Okay.
And my little granddaughter is Maisie.
Maisie, I got Maisie in there when I heard you tell the story. Okay, so I put them, your whole family's in there, and you're in there too, Christine. So thank you so much, and God bless you. Beautiful story, precious story, actually. I'm going to try to get to Connie. Connie, hold on, don't go anywhere. I just want to make sure that everyone knows tomorrow we're going to be talking about finding joy again, because I'm getting questions of what's tomorrow's topic. Finding joy again. We're speaking about how we can lose joy, but we can get it back. Okay, Connie in Greeley, Colorado, on Catholic Radio Network. Hi, Connie. Take it away.
Yeah, I was calling because I wanted to tell you a story about my son.
Mm-hmm.
We lived out in the country where it wasn't very rich, because we moved there because we had a handicapped daughter. And we didn't want our children wanting everything that we couldn't give them, even though my husband made good money. So each child had two pairs of shoes, dress shoes for church and, you know, tennis shoes for school and life. And my son was extremely fussy about his shoes, had to look just right. He took good care of them. And one Sunday we were getting ready for church, and he was about 6 or 7, and I couldn't find his dress shoes. And I said, "Adam, do you know where your dress shoes is?" And he ducked his head down like he'd done something wrong. And he said, "I gave them to the family down the street." Now, the family down the street was new migrants, Hispanic, living in a Quonset hut. They had 8 kids, and only one could go to school because only one had shoes.
Oh, and he gave his dress shoes. That sounds like what Carlo Acutis did with the sneakers that his mom bought him. That is amazing. How old is your son today?
44.
Oh, beautiful. Is he still such a giving soul?
He's very involved in youth ministry with his wife and other ministries, and he still is a very giving soul. In fact,
wow.
2 years ago at Thanksgiving, there was a handicapped guy came to the Thanksgiving, and he was playing a game that they had, and he was getting excited and jumping up and down.
Mm-hmm.
Well, his shoes ripped out, And Adam went to his closet and brought out three pairs of shoes for him.
Oh.
I mean,
he's that guy. It's amazing.
He was in the Navy.
Good.
Highly intelligent. He's a manager at a nuclear plant. And if you ever wanted anyone who was calm and decisive,
it's Adam. Wow. Connie, thank you so much for sharing your story and your beautiful family. Wow. Amazing. Gerald and Beth, we're not going to get to you today. I'm so sorry. You can always call back at the end of the month for Unscripted. Julie, talking about a boy in your catechism class introducing the rosary, and it continues on with more people joining. Wow. This was a great episode. We needed another hour. So please make sure you tell your stories on the next Unscripted. And I want to thank the show team, Michael, Matt, and Pedro. Thank you to the affiliates. Until tomorrow, have a beautiful and blessed day. See you real soon.